Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Lord, you reign forever. You reign forever. I worship you. I worship you, Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign forever. You reign forever. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship. Lord, you reign forever. You reign forever. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We worship. So Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign. You reign forever. We worship you, God. You, Lord, you reign forever. You reign forever. I worship you, Lord. Oh, Lord, you reign forever. You reign forever. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Lord, you reign forever. You reign forever. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You reign forever, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, God. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, you reign, you reign. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's get into the word. I trust God you'll be so blessed tonight. 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Let's read from verse 6. The wonderful writer and preacher Paul. A wonderful style of writing. Let's read from verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our heart to give the light. Now, please, I want you to reason in the same spirit with Paul, and it's possible, Apostle Paul, I mean, let's see where he's coming from. Okay? He's trying to talk about the possibility of God, the strength of God here. So can we try and see from verse 4? Is it possible so we'll get a better context? Let me see from verse 4. Verse 4. Alright. Okay, I think I know where we are coming from. Trying to remember how this part of scripture started. Can I just see from verse 1? We will not probably read. Okay, I've received mercy, will not lose. Verse 2. Alright, next part of scripture. Our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Next part of scripture. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lives the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Do you understand what is happening here? Go back from 2 Corinthians 3:18 so you understand. Then start from verse 1. Because I want you to have a good context. Alright? Are you in church?
Yes,
but we all with what? Unveiled face. Beholding the glory of the Lord are being what? Transformed into the same image from the glory of the old to the glory of the new. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See that? So, but we are with unveiled face. Now, if you understand what is happening here, Paul said something. Go back a few verses before this. Go back again. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Right? So Paul is comparing two age, the old age and the new age. Do you understand what is happening here? Because if you read verse 9 more importantly, go to verse 9. I just want you to understand context. Context must not be in a chapter. We had to put chapter and verses to be able to cite scriptures. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Cite part of scripture. We can say Matthew chapter 6 verse 7. If there was no chapter and verses, we cannot cite scriptures. So you cannot say because a chapter starts from this part, then the context should be within this part. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The pattern of writing scripture from the beginning was never like this. The pattern is called scriptural continuous. You are just writing, writing, and writing. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? But for reference sake, people had to, scholars had to come together and say, okay, let's have what we call chapters and verses for reference sake. Now, we're trying to understand the context. That's why we went to the initial chapter. And in fact, if we never saw it here, we would have still gone to what? The initial chapter. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? So he said, if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of the righteous exceeds much more in glory. So Jesus is talking about two age here through Paul. Are we together? The old age, the ministry of the law, ministry of condemnation that had glory, and the ministry of the righteous that is supposed to excel in much more glory. Are we together? So go to verse 15. Something was happening in that old ministry of condemnation. It said, but we all, verse 15, it says in verse 15, it said, but even till this day, when Moses is read, so something was happening in the old order of ministry that had glory. You know, mark this word, it had glory. Very important. That even though their eyes were veiled, they couldn't really see into Christ, they had a measure of the glory in their days. Isn't that interesting? You know what the glory means there? The Red Sea parted. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? People were healed too in the Old Testament. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Mention a lot of glory. They broke the law of uptrust. Elijah. Elisha, I mean. What else? Called down fire. What else? Several miracles that happened, right? So there was glory in the Old Testament. Even though there was a veil that hindered people from seeing Christ. Is that not interesting? That there was glory, yet there was a veil. Are you following me? And what explained in Acts 17 before. Can you remember that part of scripture? Acts 17 verse what? That said, in the days of ignorance, God was merciful. Verse what? Verse 30 of Acts 17. You should know scriptures. Don't be dull with scriptures. As you lose out a lot of things. That's why you are still broke. Do you understand? Okay, I like the fact you understand. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. So there were times of ignorance that God what? Overlooked things. That was the Old Testament. So God will not, because of ignorance, not give people food to eat, not give people a miracle. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For instance, Moses, they say Moses just speak to the rock, and by speak, you know, that part of scripture is quite complicated. You know, someone met me after church one time and said, Pastor, God said Moses to speak to the rock, not hit the rock. Now, if you look at that scripture, the Bible said Moses was supposed to just hit the rock once. But he was angry and he struck it more than once. Can you people remember? But other part of scriptures, when you are going further, the Bible now said God told Moses to speak to the rock, but Moses got annoyed and etc. If you look at it vividly, to speak to the rock was to hit it once. Not struck it with anger like he did. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? That's what it meant for Moses to speak to the rock. Because the Bible cannot be complicated. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Just like when you have a dog, you can hit it and it will understand your language. That's more like what the Bible meant there. They understood that God told Moses what to do to the rock, and that way Moses was going to be speaking to the rock. But Moses actually neglected because of anger and did his mind. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Alright, so Moses did what was wrong, but water came out of the rock. So what happened there? God overlooked. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Moses did what was wrong, but water came out from the... So what happened there? God overlooked. What God told Moses to do, he did not do. He did it wrongly, but the result came out. So what would you say if you are a congregant in that ministry? You would have said Moses had alignment with the Holy Spirit for doing what he did to the rock and water coming out. But Moses did it wrongly. God did not say, hit it like that out of anger. God told him what to do, but he did it wrongly. Yet water came out. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Why? Because God overlooked. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? For instance, Hebrews 7 from and verse 8. Hebrews 7 from verse 8. He said, here mortal men receive... Am I sure I'm in the right place? 8:7. That's not what I meant to... It's not tight what I'm talking about here. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Are you listening? For if the first covenant was what? Faultless. Then no place would have been sought for a second covenant. That means the first covenant was full of fault. Are you seeing that? It was faulty. Yet there was glory. Because God overlooked. Why? Because Jesus has said in Matthew and John 5, he said, now, he said from John 3, he said, in John 3, he said, no one, I think from verse 11, he said, no one has gone to heaven except the Son of Man who is from heaven, who is in heaven. Have you seen that part of scripture before? Now, Jesus is like, nobody has gone to heaven before me. Now, in John 5, he said, nobody has seen nor heard God. That's why I said, Bible students, the problem you will have sometimes is that when you see something that is clear, you are trying to understand what is clear from what is not clear. When you see what is very clear, try to use what is clear to understand what is not clear. And the Bible says nobody has seen nor heard God. That's clear. Is that not what John 5 said? It said nobody has seen God at any time except Jesus, who is the Son of God. Isn't it? And going further, he said, you read the scripture because you think in them you will find eternal life. He said, but I am eternal life. Remember that in John 5? And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Wow. Do you like it? Huh? Gets you more confused. Because you are remembering what Moses was hearing and what Moses was seeing. So this is clear. Use it to understand what is not clear. And who said this? Jesus. So this is how you study the Bible. This is clear. Jesus said it. And I've shown you several times, and I'm not going to do that this evening, how that angel spoke in the stead of God, and it was said in scripture that the Lord said, when angels were speaking, it said, the Lord said, because they stood in the stead of God. I think David tried to do a good work for us. He said, God put his angels charge over us. They had total authority over us. And from the database of what they understood or have encountered in the supernatural, they downloaded to us as what they represented to us for God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is it deep or shallow? That's just it, okay? So what I'm trying to say is that, according to this part of scripture, no one had ever seen or heard God except Jesus. And now that he is dead, buried, and resurrected, has made many of us like him who are hearing him anyhow. Some people are even lying with him, you know, saying all sort of lies. God said, that's my wife. You know, all those kind of stupid things. Now, I'm not saying God will not say that as your wife, but you know what I'm trying to say. People are lying these days because now we have been given access to hear and to what? See God. For instance, where we just left, verse 18, but we all with what? Open faces. He was veiled to those in the law, but right now with open faces we are beholding Christ like in a mirror, right? And are transformed. Now, many years ago, one of my neighbors said, I have a problem with pastors that say God spoke to me. I used to leave this kind of church. That's rubbish. How can somebody say, God said to me? Do you know who God is? And I'm wondering. You want to share who God is? He's mighty, no doubt. He's a mighty God that wants you to hear him. And he lives in you. Some of them have even danced that choreography before. He lives in me, oh I. Oh, he lives in me, oh I. Then they say, you carry the glory of God. They say, it's a lie. That's somebody that was doing, he lives in me. Most of you seated there, you did it. If it's not that one, you say, you did, Master of the universe. You are the head over principalities. You are the head. You are the master. Master. Dun, 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 dun. We worship your name, King of the universe. You know, they do all the choreography. Like Paul was saying in Acts 19, thereabout, say Acts 17 or Acts 18 or 19. He said, the religious folks, they wrote on their board, to the God Most High, the unknown God. He said, you people are saying to the God, the unknown God. Like unknown God men. Do you get what I'm trying to say? They just write things. He said, you don't even understand the meaning of what you people are writing. At some point, do you know this part of scripture that says, in him we live, breathe, and have our being that we like? Do you know it was the Pharisees that wrote it and were reciting it? They'll be in church. In him we live, breathe, have our being. Then when Jesus comes and said, I and the Father are one, no Christos. These are people that were saying, in him we live, breathe, have our being. It was just the apostles' creed to them. Do you understand? They just recite the creed and you know, are still subject to the devil. You've seen people like that. They recite a lot of things, yet cancer. They recite a lot of things, yet tuberculosis. I mean, you're still saying, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, with tuberculosis in your throat. If you truly understand what you are saying, it will leave. It's not pride. It will leave. You think God created us to be coming to church and be hitting our head on the ground and be doing one kind of thing like we are doing, how some people will say, Safi. Christianity has to be productive. He's a living God, not a religious God. Are you listening to me? He's a living God. And if you truly understand the truth, it will what? Make you free. Say amen. Do you understand me tonight? So we're saying something, right? No one has seen nor heard God according to scripture. Now you have to go and figure, crack your brain. Understanding scripture is not easy. That's why the Bible said you don't give us single honor. He said you give us double honor. He said give double honor to them that labor in the word and doctrine. Seeing that I said this, I'm very sure in my spirit a lot of people are confused because they've been reading the Bible in the Old Testament. They are trying to figure out some things. Now, immediately I just said that, Pastor, what is happening? But you saw it in the Bible, isn't it? Nobody has heard the voice of God. What did Moses hear on the top of the mountain? Before we get to conclude, we should be sure that the answer can never be God's voice because Jesus just said nobody has heard. Do you understand now? This is how you understand scripture. Take this answer out of your option. Now you can figure out whether it's an archangel or a normal angel. But it is not the voice of God. He said nobody has seen God. But the Bible says Moses spoke to God face to face. You have to figure that out. But your option for an answer can never be God. I've given you an expo before, and I'll still do it for the sake of some of you joining us for the first time. Exodus 3, right? We'll just see it briefly. We'll go back to what we're saying. This is not what we're supposed to talk about, but if we don't do this thing, some people will still go back calling us heretic preachers. Do you understand? Like, I was talking with a lady on Sunday, and she said someone was trying to talk her mom from stopping her to come into church, and he said to her, he's a pastor, and his daughter comes to our church, and somehow he tried and he couldn't stop the daughter from coming to our church. So she said to me, somehow she now had to marry. They had to reuse the marriage option, and she married and stopped church because they really forced her. And he was telling the mother of the lady that, now as I'm telling you, your daughter will not listen to you because they've done something in their hearts. That when they start going to that church, they used to do something on their hearts. They will never leave the church. And he said, but the pastor is a false preacher. He preaches heresies. So I said, the lady now told the mom, she said, I've never heard my pastor preach heresies. And why were you excited when I started going to the church? You said I stopped dressing wrongly and you were happy that I should be going. But now somebody is saying he's preaching heresies. You know, I don't know. Heresies should have a lot of connection with dressing with skimpy wears. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And looking and being thieves. And being touts. If we are teaching heresies, when you come here, you should hear wrong reports. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You should hear dirty things happening. But you don't hear that. And I asked her, has anybody ever asked you out in this church? She said, nobody. I said, and they've asked you out there? She said, yes. I said, because you were tired of being in this church, nobody asked you out. Yeah. She said, I don't know why they don't ask out, blah, 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 blah. I said, because they want to be sure. For a moment, I was proud of all of you, young men, that you did not ask a lady out. I was scared she was going to say yes, somebody, but she said no. I was excited. So I said to her, they are watching out to making sure God speaks to them. And they are sure that you are the one. That is why they don't do that. So I said, if nobody asks you out, nobody will do even more. Say, Pastor, but where I'm coming from, where he's telling me to go to, they used to ask me out almost every... I said, you see? And they don't teach heresies, isn't it? So, you know, if we don't correct these things, some people will still go back with the narrative that we're teaching what? Heresies. So let's think, because the scriptures is not something you just be roasting corn and be trying to understand. You have to take your time to understand it. Alright? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked. Now the small look there, the small H there indicates that's Moses. He looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Next part of scripture, it then says in verse 3, it says, then Moses said, I will turn aside and see the wonderful sight. Now, next part of scripture, verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him. You see that? Who called to him? In verse 2, who appeared to Moses in the burning bush? Now, hit verse 2 so that you are sure of what I'm saying. The angel of the Lord, right? Verse 4. So when the Lord saw that he turned, but who was inside? called him. And here is Jesus. Nobody has heard the voice of God, not seen God. What is happening? But the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. God called him. Moses says, nobody has heard the voice of God. Is it confusing? We'll figure out that another day. So let's go back to where we were. Except you want us to just do Bible study and forget what I'm trying to share with you this evening. The Holy Spirit is at the end of our message, so I will not want to be affected or limited by focusing on another thing. Alright? Are you here? Beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, have been transformed into the same image from the glory of the old to the glory of the new. Now we're trying to understand something about age. Go back to verse chapter 4, verse 1 now. Let's build from there. Therefore, since we have received this ministry as we have received mercy, the new ministry, we do not lose heart. That's for our scripture. Remember what I said, if the first ministry was faultless, there will be no need for another. And in Acts 7:30, what did we, 17:30, what was our emphasis there? That in the days of what? God what? Overlooked. You see that? We're trying to build on what we read in verse 9 and 10 of 2 Corinthians 3, how that if the ministry of condemnation was, the ministry of the righteous excels. And I was showing that there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, a ministry full of faults. That's why God is trying to remove his hand that he's not inside. Not because he was inside and he's trying to hide. No, he said he's not there. He's the one that still told us that houses made by human hands, I never was there. So who was there? Of course not him. A measure of the glory, but not God. You see, in the Hebrew, when we say kabod, we mean the manifestation of the glory. Alright? Not just the person of the glory, but the manifestation of the glory. And the glory manifests like fire in Old Testament, as cloud. You know, for instance, if I had time, I would have showed you Numbers 14:14, how that the Bible said God spoke to the children of Israel from a cloud. And if you go down to read, the Bible said God spoke to them face to face. How? He was speaking from a cloud, a thick cloud. And while they were hearing him, if you read down further, the Bible will now say God was speaking to the children of Israel face to face. So it is for Moses. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So is it the scholars, while they were writing, they felt like since you saw a manifestation of the glory and heard a voice from the manifestation of that glory, it is seen as if you spoke to God face to face. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Is it confusing? There's a lot of work that happened translating scriptures from Greek, Hebrew, Latin, then English. A lot of work happened. A lot. So that is why we have to take out time like this to explain scriptures to you. So that you truly get the heart of the Father. Are we together? He said, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What is Paul saying here? I'm teaching the right doctrine and it's before you, and you can vet it if it's wrong, blah blah blah. Are we together? Next part of scripture, I'm trying to do a summary of what he meant in verse 2. He said, but even if our gospel is veiled, and it looks as if Paul is trying to win an argument here. Are we together? Is that even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. So if you don't believe what we are saying, Paul speaking, then it's because you are perishing. Next part of scripture. It says, whose minds the God of this age has what? Blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine on them. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? I said, come and plug this. I'm trying to get some scripture here so that I will not lose it. Next part of scripture. It then says, for we do not preach ourselves, but what? Christ. Jesus the Lord as, and ourselves, your born servant for Jesus' sake. Now go back to the initial part of scripture. Whose mind the God of this age has what? Blinded. Who do not what? Believe. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should what? Shine on them. So the God of this age is not Satan. That's one thing I wanted to hit that I forgot. Now we're talking about two age, remember? The Old Testament age and the New Testament age. And the God of that age is not Satan, it's the Lord. Are we together? Religious beliefs. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Hallelujah to Jesus. Religious belief, wrong beliefs. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded? The God of this age has blinded. Now, if you remember something that happened in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 3, let's go back there a little bit. I want you to be masters of the word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Go back there a little bit. You see something beautiful. But even till this day, when Moses is read, a veil. For what covered their eyes here? The law. Moses represents the law. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so go back to where we were. So are you understanding everything from context? Because a lot of people call it Satan. Satan is not the God of this world. He can never be the God of this earth. The earth is the Lord's. Is what? The world and what? Is the Lord's earth. And you are the light of the world. Satan is not a God. You know, the Bible said Satan is the God of this world. Satan is not the God of this world. The Bible is speaking about the God of an age, which is the law. It blinded them. So Paul was saying, he continued in verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4. He said, if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to them that what? Perishing. Then he said, who the God of this age has what? Blinded their eyes. And according to context, what blinded their eyes in 2 Corinthians 3? The law. Whenever Moses is being what? Read. A veil what? Covers their eyes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So go back to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. I remember what the Bible said in verse 16 of such simple scripture. Go back to 2 Corinthians 3:16. It said, but when one is turned to Christ, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? And go back to where we were. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4. It says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine. So what took it away in Corinthians 3? Christ Jesus. What is going to take it away? Christ Jesus. At the preaching of the gospel. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So go back to, continue to, in verse 5. Verse 5. It then says, for we do not rest, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Don't preach yourself, right? I had an encounter and God told me, we don't care about your encounter. Preach Christ and Him being what? Crucified. Because sometimes when you preach an encounter and get one diagnosis, you just get an understanding from it. You don't think that is the gospel. The Bible says, even if an angel comes to you with another gospel, they tell the angel to go away. Nothing is more beautiful than you in the realm of the spirit. Nothing. Do you get what I'm trying to say to you this evening? No, you don't. Nothing is more beautiful than you in the realm of the spirit. Shout amen, somebody. Nothing. You are the most beautiful being that's ever hit the spirit realm. Because you are the image of the invisible God. Outside Christ Jesus, you are number two. We are not even putting Christ in the competition because He is God Almighty. In the realm of the Spirit, you are so beautiful. Decorated with so much glory. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Ooh. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your born servants for Jesus' sake. Next part of scripture. It then says, for it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Next part of scripture. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. See how he built from verse 6. See carefully. He said in verse 6, for it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Then see the next part of scripture. It then says, But we have this treasure in 18 verses, that the excellence or the power may be of God and not of us. What does it mean? Now, look at, if you see what he said in verse 6, he said, God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. He commanded light to shine out of nothing. Are we together? Darkness means nothing. A dead situation. But God commanded light. Let there be light. There was light. Then he's not comparing. That it is the same God. Give me verse 7 now. He's trying to show you the possibility of God. He said, but we have this treasure in 18 verses. So he's wanting you to learn something, that if God can cause light out of nothing, it is possible that he can call you to carry his glory. He can qualify you to carry his glory. Not just you, but he emphasizes 18 vessel, meaning the flesh. Are you listening to me? The flesh that you think is evil, Paul is trying to make you understand that even if you think your flesh is your weakness, flesh is weak and etc., you should understand that God, who called light out of darkness, is capable of making sure that 18 vessels carry the glory of God. Are you listening to me? That flesh can carry the glory of God. Then it says something at the end. It says that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You see that? So you must understand that you carrying the glory is a function of total dependence on the ability of God and nothing of you. If you ever look at yourself, you can't carry the glory. You can't live for God. Are you listening to me? It must be a function of total what? Dependence. And that is why your doctrine, you have to be careful with doctrines. Because anytime you point everything to anything, when it begins to point to yourself instead of Christ, instead of God Almighty, you observe that you drift away from grace. You drift away from mercy. Because Paul said something at the beginning of 2 Corinthians 4. He said, we have received this ministry as we have received what? Mercy. You can put it up. Therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We carrying the glory of God must be a function of total dependence. And when we say total dependence, it is bigger than just coming to church and sitting down and singing songs of God's greatness. You know, I have confidence. No, it's you can sing I have confidence in you and still be living by the law. Truly understand the word of God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You can think, I have confidence in you, but it's just a song. But your understanding, the way you understand the word of God, is putting confidence in yourself rather than on God. That way, you cannot carry the glory of God. That way, you falter. Because it must be total dependence on God, not on yourself. So one thing comes to mind. You have to then be careful of your belief system, of the information that gets to your heart. Are you all listening to me? Because if you misunderstand the Bible, then if you misunderstand God's word, then you'll be building wrongly. That's why Paul said something in 2 Corinthians 3. He said, be careful how you build. Be careful how you build. He said the right foundation, which is Jesus, the chief cornerstone, and they started building on it. And he's telling other preachers, be careful. Don't go and put materials that are not really of good quality, which is false information, on something that already has a good foundation. Because it will affect the people. He's saying that we are God's fellow workers. Then he says the saints are what? God's what? Building. Is that what he said? And so he said, be careful how you build. Be careful what you take in you as doctrine. Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, if you are careful of your belief system, the knowledge that get on your inside, he said, that way you are protecting both your life and what? Those that hear you. Are we together? Both your life and what? Those that hear you. So you have to be careful, Paul speaking. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here? I hope you are not getting confused. And if you read God's word carefully, I think is in is in the book of Isaiah. He said, who has believed our report? He said, it is to that person that the arm of the Lord is what? Revealed. That simply means if you don't believe God's word, you will not see God's strength. If you believe wrongly, you will be in a place where Satan will take advantage of you. Remember, the book of James said it is God Almighty that can keep you from falling, not you. It is the greatness of God that makes the glory of God live in earthen vessels. The glory of God. So the moment you set your eyes off Christ Jesus, it is because you are having dependence, pride in your own ability. At that point, you must falter. Are you listening to me? And that's why most people that truly understand the mercy of God, they don't know how to condemn other people. They don't know. When you see people brag about their holy walk with God, they don't understand. You know, I don't know how to put it. You want to tell people that since they born you, you never slept with a woman. It's itching you. You'd say it everywhere. It's not because probably a lot of people are not like you and etc., but you are taking pride in it. If truly you understand that what we have received as grace is not a function of anything but what Jesus has done for us on Calvary, why then emphasize that? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Why then? It's because now you are taking pride in yourself. It means you are putting total dependence on yourself. Listen, most of you know, with the way some people are teaching this gospel that you have heard, you would have concluded, if that was the truth, that you don't have any hope. Am I communicating? You would have concluded that you have no hope. Like what I said on Sunday. You know, I had to debunk that lie because I know it was a lie. It is some people's destiny only get manifested when they are virgins. It's not in the Bible. Is it in any part of the scriptures? No. You misunderstood the Bible. And am I saying that we should misbehave because that's not the truth? No. But it has to be broken, that wrong, because there's a demon that facilitates wrong doctrines. I tell you the truth. And as long as people are holding to that fortress, that false information, they will not have total dependence on God. And they will give Satan access into their life to steal from them, to kill them, and what? Destroy them. A God's general said, there is nothing that is more dangerous in this world than a man that is proud out of, than a man that his pride is a function of holy living. So why are you proud now? You have pride because of your... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are living right with God. It's making you proud that there is nothing more dangerous in the world than that. It means you don't understand the mercy of God. Are you listening to me? Because if you understand the mercy of God, you will boast in Christ, not in yourself. Because what are we talking about? See what God said, that me that commanded light out of darkness, I can make sure that the glory is situated in earthen vessels. Now imagine somebody comes to you and say, now that you are not this, you are not that, you cannot carry the glory of God. Some people's destiny is tied to their virginity. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. So, Pastor, why are you emphasizing this? Is it because you are not a virgin? I don't even care. I don't want to explain that to you. You can think whatever you want to think. You know, the day you become a strong person and can fulfill destiny is when you don't care what people think about you. If you keep on wondering what people think about you, you are still a child. You will never fulfill destiny. You must be okay. In fact, you can use what people think about you as Lipton and drink tea. If you don't think like that, you will never fulfill destiny. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? For instance, now, I'm not going to give an answer and I don't care what anybody thinks. But I'm going to teach the gospel. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. And when I'm done teaching this, you cannot at the end say, Pastor has given us leverage to not live right. Then you didn't understand me. Are you all listening to me? Because I know as I'm talking to a lot of people here, I'm talking to a lot of broken people too. Maybe some have not experienced brokenness, but I'm talking to many people too that would have experienced brokenness in one area of their life or another. I'm a pastor. I've met a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people. I've heard different stories. And that's why when I hear some people teaching, I get annoyed because they don't understand the gospel. What would you tell somebody that has been a prostitute from age 14? And now she's 34, for instance. She wants to receive Jesus. What do you tell her? Say, don't worry, Jesus will manage you. You are useless to Jesus, but at least you'll make heaven. Is that what you tell her? Huh? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So what will you tell such a person? I asked the question one day here, and I was not surprised, too surprised at the answer. Imagine you are in a relationship, and the lady now tells you finally that I'm HIV positive. What will you do? And how did she get it? She didn't get it by prostitution. She got it because her mom, who had misbehaved, kind of passed it on to her. How many of you will run? Will you not run? Let God use it to test that situation then. Why are you people murmuring? Now, imagine she was actually a prostitute and got HIV and didn't know. And she repented and came to Jeremiah. And she started entering your eye. The Spirit of God now said, that's your wife. You now went for her. Few weeks to the wedding, pastor said, bring your test reports. And as you brought it, pastor saw that she is HIV positive and you're not. But she's born again. I mean, she can pray 10 hours in the spirit. How many of you will still go ahead with the marriage? Well, I like the response. At least it's sincere. But do you know if you truly understand grace? Huh? Hey, they are not answering me. Are you people in this church? If you truly understand the finished work of Jesus, do you know you can still move forward? You see the way Richard answered me? Like, it's like emotional. Yes, sir. Actually, it's not be easy. That's what grace means, though. Hallelujah to Jesus. If not for grace, some of you will not be even seated here. Because the way people even, some of you, when I had to kill that in this church, I remember on campus, some people just come to church, some people start judging them from their dressing. I called them one time, I said, you see this church, I'm the head, all of you, it's not your business, leave the saints for me, the way they are. There are even some people seated, even as pastors, that I would have pursued from, but that's people, you know, these small, small children, they've not understood the gospel. Sir, this person is not dressing like a Christian. You even see ladies trying to shade away another lady because she's wearing one kind of dress. Sir, she should not come close. Those ones are with BB gowns. You understand what I'm trying to say? The holiest than thou. When somebody comes to church, he's coming to church for help. Are you listening to me? They are coming for help. So we can't drive them away because of dressing. Do you understand? You see, I'm not a fan of somebody that wears earring or plaits his hair as a young man. But if they come to church and sit down, if anybody tries to drive them out, I will beat you up that day in the spirit with my words. Because who sent you? You're not supposed to say nothing to them. Do you get what I'm trying to say? In fact, you're supposed to love them. If you don't like the hair, pretend that the hair is fine. You can even compliment, oh, your hair is so nice. So that they will feel what? Welcome. With time, nobody will tell them. When they look everywhere two times, them too, they'll go and remove it to feel a mug. Some of them will be convicted as they hear the word of God. They'll go and change. So why is that brother not in church? Ah, One of the brothers said you should go outside, that our church does not support earring and this. If you don't bring that soul back, you two don't come back. What are we against? That we are in church like this, don't just one day go and plant here. Him that is born again, he just one day just come it with her. Yo, pastor, preach on, man. With two earrings. Then he's stretching on. Yo, pastor, feeling you so bad, man. Hey. I'll say, come to the front, man. I want to use it as an example, man. Koboku will be at the back, man. I'll say, Jesus, flock people. Block the doors. That one we can complain because he has been hearing the word. Some Christians have low self-esteem. You are in Nigeria singing for God. Singing. Then one time, somebody in the US just changed. He plait his hair. He's a gospel singer. Put earring. You too! You have done. Low self-esteem. You're from your low court. You live here. In fact, you have planted yourself. I want to be like my role model. You have planted. You have died. Why did you do it? None of your own will. You saw somebody doing it. You have low self-esteem. So why did you dress like that? I saw one girl, one lady online. She dressed like that. That is why I'm dressing like that. You know, some of these influencers are really influencing people wrongly. You know, one time I saw this influencer, forgotten her name, not so right to even mention, but I think she's a teller, so some sort of. And she was in a gym dancing to worldly songs, not secular songs, worldly song with a young man, and it was said the young man was her brother, and they were dancing. And I saw the comment section. Somebody were like, leave. Somebody said, but you are a Christian. Another lady now come and say, brother Jesus, second brother Jesus, leave her alone. You know, you can imagine. You can't even say the truth in this generation. They'll call you brother Jesus, commander in chief of heaven. Leave her alone. So somebody cannot have a nice time sometimes. So what do you mean by a nice time sometimes? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? People who don't go to church, listen carefully, will sit down. They don't even believe in your God. Then they'll get inspired and write a song. Bay me see you. Lo 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 bay me see you. Everybody is not doing it. Both the Orthodox, the Pentecostal, they're doing it. Bugao, they are bugaing for Jesus. You don't know the shame there. It's not that we are condemning the person that sang the song. The person is not a Christian. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are the light of the world. So why would you succumb to that? Are you listening to me? Are you following me this wonderful evening? That's what we are talking about. Any song that comes, you are following the trend. Sometimes it's not even song. To show you how you have low self-esteem. It's just one little trend online. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2. You and your family members have started it. That's low self-esteem. You are just following trend. You are like paper that wind is blowing like this. Not the wind though. You are paper. He said the spirit man is like a wind. You are the paper. That every wind of doctrine is blowing. Every wind of any new idea, it will blow you. They ask you this brother, why are you wearing this round chain on your neck? I don't know. I just see one guy doing. I feed the guy. I did it. Finish. Low self-esteem. Now, every gospel young artist now has one chain. Have you observed? Even instrumentalists. If we had allowed giving some small liberality, even earring you'd have seen in this church. Earring. You know what is stopping this thing? Is the Holy Ghost through Prophet Simon. If I don't know how to talk these things, if I was never inspired to see life like this, this church, you'd be so shocked. Miracle would have started wearing earrings. See this, what's her name again? Rejoice, shouted sins, miracle. She has been suspecting you. She sins. You know why I said so? You know the way he does speaks? Ain't gonna lie, man. Ain't gonna lie. What would have made it so nice? You know, when you put your in. So I'm gonna lie. I'm gonna reach a song from Simon, you know. I'm gonna lie. But city today is still corporate. As you are wearing corporate now, did you die? No bangles on your hand. Nothing on your hands. No chain on your neck. Are you not okay? You know what you have? You have what we call Sia Gracia. You have inner peace. Shalom, shalom. Peace on every part of your heart and kidney. There's peace. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Even for the ladies, everything is quite moderated, like the Bible says. Paul said, let everything be moderate. If we never had this understanding, you know what would be happening in this church by now? Some people's hair will touch the floor. It will touch the floor. There are some ladies here who have even dreamt and see themselves boring their nose. If they have bored their nose since. Preach, prophet. I'm not joking, though. And how we know you'll be affected soon is the kind of things you post. You will see songs everywhere. It's the woman that busts her nose when you are sharing. We know, self, that you like to bust your nose. It's just opportunity you are waiting for. You see all the songs you share is the guy that put your ring on you are sharing. We know that it's just little opportunity. If you leave church, we know what will happen to you. You know, there's a brother that's not in church. I wanted to correct them for something, but they couldn't really help it. I think he relocated. He didn't know that I have one of these his number. He had messaged me before it. And every moment, he's posting worldly song. When he's trying to advertise his product, he's posting worldly song. And I told Mama T, I said, see this man. He had this problem since. He's just waiting for a time for manifestation. Now, whatever church is going, gives him the permission to post it. Just like the children of Israel, they never knew they can worship idols. They never knew. It has always been in them. What was curtailing it? It was God through one man, Moses. Immediately Moses said, I'm coming for 2 days. And he delayed more. They told Aaron. Even Aaron, the leader, had a problem. He said, I'm not going to touch this thing. Just throw it in the fire. When they threw it and they did everything, Moses came back and said, Aaron, what is happening? Aaron said, they just threw the thing in the fire. The thing just made an idol and they are worshipping it. Weak leader. Why is somebody in your department not doing that? He said, sir, the person has passed my power. You are a weak leader. Who can pass your power as a HOD? There are only two options. Do it or leave now. And many of you don't know that when you leave, God will even be happy because you have pride, some of you. He will praise that person. Because many people that have pride are a limitation to any system. As a pastor, I've learned that the hard way. When somebody is becoming so proud for a long time, you are talking, the person is not here, allow them to flow and go. A person that will do it better is just within. Sometimes he's just seated close to you. He said, if you would not worship me, I will raise what? Stones. Stones. You were here when I was telling the former head of the media team that immediately you leave. In fact, how many of you heard me when I gave said that in like a joke? I didn't even know what I was saying. That in fact your representative is just beside you. Your replacement. At that point I couldn't even figure it out. But I've been trained in the things of God for many years and I know that's how God works. He will never allow us to be ashamed. Are you listening to me? So watch out for your motives. A lot of times, even today it happened to me, when I listen to something from somebody that I don't even know the person, I will look at the name and I will check if the person is a Christian. If it's a Christian, I may decide to want to see more what the person is saying. If it's not a Christian, whatever he's saying, I don't want to hear. Because we'll come to a point where you take me into error. That's why there are people I don't admire today till they become Christians. I don't admire them. So is it jealousy? It's not jealousy. There must be a command somehow in your life. Paul says something, say you are my epistle written and read by all men. Meaning when you see human beings walking, talking and living their lives, you are seeing the manifestation of a school of thought. The walking display of a school of thought. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if somebody is not a Christian, the way they live their life, somehow they must be a comma somewhere. Because everything they are doing does not truly represent actual wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Yes, they may be wise in one or two crafts. They may be wise in one or two affairs of life. Because it is the Lord God that cross rainbows on the righteous and what? The unrighteous. They may be successful in one or two phases of life. But as you go journey deeper in following them, you will see them start delving into paths that are odd. Am I saying the truth? One time they were doing an advert on this man, with this man that has chicken. What is this his name? It's popular chicken people. Huh? KFC. And they had to put a human being in the cascaded the human being with that thing they cascade chickens with. You know what I'm talking about? And the guy was in a river or something. I don't know if you saw that advert that time. It was as if his human being though eat not chicken again. They were now asking, what is the connection between this one and chicken advertisement? All these things are demonic things. You'll be funny if you think that this life is 100% natural. There's nothing natural. You are the one thinking anything is natural. Nothing is natural. I hope you know that there's nothing natural. You can see some people say, okay, I don't think it's civilized. If they keep me and you are a pursuing book, it's not a joke. Yet me, I'm still telling you there's nothing natural. Think about it. If you want to be bracket with me, no problem. But if we go to the physics, I will still beat you or we'll be bracket. Yet with all my understanding, I'm concluding that there is nothing natural. You know, one time I was preaching to some boys and the way they were looking at me, I said, see, I'm not the adult person preaching to you that went to school. This school that you are going to, I went to the school and I did very well. And at the end, I'm telling you Jesus is Lord. Use your brain. That if somebody this intelligent can sit down and tell me Jesus is Lord, me, I should think and understand and come to a conclusion that is actually Lord. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Life is not 100% natural. Life is not natural, not a minute. It's 100% spiritual. I did a course in education one time in BSU, realism and what? Idealism. And they said, idealism. I was really wowed. One of the first lectures I went for. They said, idealism is the mother of realism. Then I started smiling. And they were citing one or two people. And you know why I was smiling? Was because he reminded me of scriptures. That's one of my best times in class. I started quoting scriptures in 2 Corinthians. The things which are not seen give birth to the things that are seen. Because I remember one of my friends said, how does it make sense? Then I quoted the scripture for him. I said, it's true. Everything that we see was given back to by what we do not see. And what it takes to remove what is visible is what is visible. It is what is not visible that we use. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible said, we use what is not to bring to naught what is. You want to remove cancer? It's words. Because words are spirit and life. Words are powerful. That is why I don't joke with doctrines. Because doctrines provide possibilities. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They kind of subject us to possibilities and weaknesses. Or should I just say possibilities, either in the negative or in the positive? There are some people that believe that they can never live holy lives. It's their doctrine. They believe that the righteous man sins 7 times a day. Have you heard people talk like that? Is a belief system. How can somebody who thinks the righteous must sin 7 times a day live a holy life? Is it possible? Question is, did the Bible ever say the righteous sin 7 times a day? Nowhere in scripture. Do you know where those doctrines came about? Let me show you from the Bible. It's called doctrines of demons. Oh God, I wish your mind would be open today to understand what I'm trying to say. Please, everybody, listen to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Isn't 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit says that in latter times some would depart from the faith, giving heed. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, help your people to get this. Is it now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some would depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirit and doctrines of what? Demons. Now when we say doctrines of demons, you'll be thinking the thing should obviously, the doctrine should obviously portray demons. Isn't it? Obviously portray demons. For instance, I said, drink the blood of chickens. No. Demons are not that dull. The Bible says Satan was very cunning. Before the fall, his name was Lucifer. He was made with the precious stones. Many precious stones, the Bible said. He was crafted in wisdom, the Bible said. That wisdom is what today he's using to deceive a lot of people. That's what has made him cunning today. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because the wisdom is working in the opposite direction now. He's not a foolish person. Are you listening to me, people of God? Don't think Satan will come as obvious devil. Oh, I don't know what to call it, obvious devil. He will not appear as an obvious devil. Listen to what Paul said. In the wisdom that God gave Paul, he said, he said the enemy has the possibility to appear as an angel of light. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He's that wise that he will not come out with bat ear. He knows that's your expectation. You read it in textbook. Isn't it Sunday school books? He will not go with that long fact. Satan, rat ear, be bat ear. No. The Bible says he will come as what? Angel of light. That is my pain in this generation, because some people are seeing beings in the realm of the spirit and writing things that are not part of scripture. Are you listening to me, people of God? Are you seeing errors happening upon the face of the earth? Somebody will sit somewhere and say, somebody appeared to me. What's her name? They called the name. You think Satan is dull to say his name is Jezebel when he appears to you as a woman? You don't understand this guy. Give me 2 Corinthians 10 from verse 4. Let me show you something before we continue. For the weapons, to show you how wicked Satan is, Lord, that we left and entered grace, he carried law and started emphasizing the heart of people. He said, don't leave this law. God said, let's focus on grace and leave law. He said, no, this law is better. You see? Because he wants to come in ways that will not catch him that this is Satan. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So now in the New Testament, people are fighting us in the New Testament with law. We don't know how to fight them back because all of us are in Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? But they are holding things that will limit them from really touching Christ. And that's what Satan wants. And as long as he stays, keeps us in the law, we will never touch the possibilities in Christ. Because he can never put what? New wine in what? Old wine skin. He knows that. So he's emphasizing the old wine skin. Because he doesn't have the potency to carry the new wine. And as long as God is in old wine skin, he will never put the new wine. Somehow some people have to rise up in their strength by the Holy Ghost and speak out. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Satan is dangerous, people of God. I know what I'm telling you. He's very cunning. And why some of us sometimes will pray, laugh, and cry. When you see me crack joke like this and say with some doctrines or mock, I don't just stop this. When I go home sometimes and read the Bible, I cry. I tell you the truth. Because I see what the devil is doing. And sometimes I ask God, how can we do this? Are you listening to me? Because as a young minister, many things are before you as options to be successful, and success means different definition for a young minister. What is success to a young minister? The least in the heart of most young ministers' success is to teach the gospel accurately. That's the least. The first is to be influential. The second is to have money because you have family. Then the least is to teach the word of God rightly. And if you change it upside down, and the least is the most important. But because I want to have money for my children, at least, and my wife, blah, 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 I have to embrace the first two first. So we hear talks like, even if he's wrong, don't say it out. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? As long as we're quiet that that's not false doctrine, what are we saying to the next generation? So as I talk to you now in Nigeria, there are some men of God that every year they wash people's feet. But younger ministers will not say anything, because if you want to get to the top, you have to be quiet. So now, as we are not saying it, other people are thinking it is what? Okay. At that point, Satan is getting glory. And many young ministers don't know that that their fear is their limitation. A lot of times, people want to take the path of least resistance. But I tell you the truth, the goal is more in the path that is more tough. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Well, Lord give you understanding. He said, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. If you set your heart on money, see, listen to me, most of you, if your heart on rubies, you will end in nothing. That's what the Bible says. You know why most people are weary and doing well? Because their eyes are on rubies, money. They want money. That's why they are weary. As long as your eyes are on money and not on God, not on wisdom, you will not see the possibilities in God. You will not see it. It's a word to a man that trusts in a man. It's a he that set his trust on a man. He said he's like a man that walks in the patch places of the earth, in the book of Jeremiah. He will inherit the patch places of the earth. Because you set your eyes on a man. He said, but he that trusts in the Lord shall be as a tree planted by the riverside. He said, whose leaves do not wither. And he said, in every season, they will prosper. He said, when heat comes, they don't even notice heat. You know why you cannot go through this heat? Your eyes are not on the Lord. Your eyes are on rubies. That's why when you see people doing the wrong thing, but you have given success a wrong definition, but are succeeding, you will be tempted to follow because your eyes are where? On rubies. I tell you the truth. You can be successful the right way. But even though I say be successful the right way, let your eyes never be on what? Rubies. Set your eyes on God. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Next part of scripture. We don't have carnal weapons, remember. They are mighty in God to pulling down strongholds. What are these strongholds? Casting down argument. Lasting school of thought. School of thoughts that have stayed eons of days. Eons on the earth. Ages on the earth. Are you listening to me? School of thoughts that have become traditions. It's a casting down the argument. These are the stronghold in verse 4. The weapons are not carnal, are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Lasting existing argument and tradition. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you look at Colossians 2 from verse 10, it said these traditions and ideologies limit us from touching Christ. Can you remember that? Let's see before we come back here. Go back, sir. Go back to verse what? Verse 8. I want it in the Amplified rendition. Amplifier. Or NLT. No, it's so much. NLT. It's so long. It's like an article. Do not let anyone capture you with what? Empty philosophies. And what? That come from what? And from the what? Rather than from what? You see that? You think it's natural thinking. It's from spiritual powers. Demons sponsor the ideologies. They want to alter the human race. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So they know the only way to alter the human race is by a certain kind of thought. Because as a man thinketh in his, so is he. So they know school of thought control human beings. So the way to control human beings and to take them in wrong path is by sending wrong signals called thoughts in the realm of the spirit in the hearts of men. So demons are the reason why men are thinking men are good for a wife than women. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are you seeing what I'm trying to say now? human thinking from the spiritual powers. So you see, look at a man, he said, I prefer a man over a woman. Meanwhile, God said that man is destined to be with him. So who initiated that thing in his heart? A demon. You know what initiates your an ideology in your heart after seeing you have your wife, but you see a lady and you feel that lady should be preferred better than your wife? A demon. What makes you think any wrong thought is sponsored by what? Are you seeing it now? According to the Bible, give me in the Amplified. It's long, but let's just try to finish. The Amplified. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, pseudo intellectual babbles, according to the tradition and musings of men. You see that? Who are men? Men that only went to school, following the elementary principles of this world, rather than following the truth, the teachings of Christ. You know, not too long I told some of my people here to come out from some groups that they were being mentored, and I'm sure they were wondering what I was doing. You see, if you just teach people regular wisdom and remove the wisdom of Christ, at the end of it you will see them successful in a particular area of life, but Satan will still have a stronghold over their lives. That's why today we have lecturers who go to church, but they can sleep with ladies to give them grades. Threatening ladies. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They are successful as lecturers, academias, but look at the kind of life they are living. So it's dangerous, because most of those people, they are just wired for success. They just want you to be successful, and the definition of their success is not know Christ and have this gold. No, it is to make sure you just make the money and support your family, blah blah blah. It sounds nice, but it has dangerous effects. Are you listening to me? So I told them, come out. And I said, strive to work hard. You are a human being. Strive to work hard. As you listen to the gospel, strive to work hard. But more importantly, you are first a Christian. And wherever you are rising to, you are going to represent God here. Like Daniel. You are going to repress. So you see, somebody striving is a good coder. He can code anything, but he cannot pray 2 hours in tongues. As he's growing, then Nickelodeon will now come. I don't know if I'm saying the right thing. They will now tell him, we want you to design, do something for us in robotics that will make sure men are kissing men. Say, no, I'm a Christian. I cannot do that. Say, $2 billion. I am a Nickelodeon. Because they know every man has a price. But not that one that Jesus has taken over his heart. Are you listening to me? Like Daniel. The king dead said everything. King, concerning this case, I'm not careful. Made him chairman over how many local government, blah, blah, blah. Daniel, you have to bow. No, I'm not buying. We'll throw you in the lion's den. I will not bow. You know, one of the statements that hit my heart so much was when the king said, let me see if your God will deliver you. And when he entered, he came out. The God of Daniel actually delivered him. If you are not that personal with God, you know, Daniel was the one that said, it is they that know their God that shall be what? And will do what? Exploit. You see that? So if you know programming, know law, know everything and don't know God, you will only be able to just make your family eat well. And not fulfill the father mandate or mother mandate God has given you. As a father, your first responsibility is to give birth to children after his kind. And even though the Bible said after your kind, remember it was man in the realm of the spirit God was speaking to. He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. And when he said everything, he said, let him give birth after his own kind. That is a man in the spirit. A man in God's word, image and likeness. Not just to produce children upon the face of the earth. Producing children cannot solve the problem of the earth. You are seeing what is happening. Many children see the kind of thing that is still happening upon the face of the earth. It is giving birth to children after the God kind. And that's why when he came as salvation for us, the life he gave us called eternal life is called in English the God kind of life. the God standard of life. Are you listening to me this wonderful evening? So see it. Empty traditions and musings of men, following the elementary principles of this world rather than following the true teachings of Christ. Go back to where we were. In 2 Corinthians 10. And that's why I say the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but our mighty true God, pulling down, casting down argument and every word hiding that what? Exhort itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now I saw something today so powerful in the demonic realm. I saw a young man, and not to mock, according to the movie, the young man is from Akwa Ibom. I don't know if some of you saw that clip on Facebook. He stood up and he called his name from Akwa Ibom, and he said, today I'm a Christian and I want to tell you all before my mother and father that I'm gay. And everybody went quiet. And he said, I know you're shocked and you think God is mad at me, but this is what I've chosen to become. And I know God is okay with me. And he said some things, he was almost crying. Then the mother stood up and said, my son, I like you the way you are and it's fine. And they hugged and the movie ended and people were crying in the church. Then I just looked at everywhere. You know, I know Satan very well. Emotionality. People were crying. If you go towards the comment sections, people will just put love. The love of a mother and a child. You know what hits me the most? When the mother hugged him and said, I will accept you like that. You are my son. Everybody in the church started crying. They were moved. They accept him the way he is. Satan is painting a picture with rubbish emotional display. And if you have this problem called emotional mismanagement, you will fall in prey for the devil. That is why God would not want a woman alone to raise a child. It was never called the love of a mother, it's called the father's love. And it's not because people are terrible people, that's why we are shouting. You know what I'm trying to say? A woman alone was never designed by God to raise a child. My wife, when she comes to me with the baby, she's always trying to carry the baby away. I don't know why. But when she's the baby, she's always happy. But when she comes with me, I'm playing with the baby. Sometimes she'll be observing the play, trying to regulate the play. And when she doesn't understand the play, she'll just rush and carry her baby and go into the other room. And I'm just looking at her and smiling. I'm not going to hurt the baby, but that's the way I'm supposed to play with the baby. See, Pastor Simon, why are you doing like this? She'll be saying she wants to jump somewhere, and I'll just leave her to jump. I'll be at the base trying to catch her when she jumps. Pastor Simon, stop that! Jesus Christ! I said, don't worry, she'll be fine. Imagine that guy's father was in that church. They did not show him in that video. And stood up and said, I know, I'm gay. Oh my God. And the father stood up. They didn't show the father in the movie. They know why they did not show the father. I said, son, you are what? He said, gay. All right. Why? What are you? Gay. Okay. Why? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Don't think the father is being wicked. He doesn't love. He loves the child less. Oh, is it the way the father will beat the child? You know, have you seen where a father is beating a lady, his daughter before? How many of you have seen that? A father beating a lady. Like, pwah! You see the five fingers there. Then you may come around and say, wicked man. No, you are saying wicked man. You don't know what the lady was daring to do. That man knows men more than that small girl of 15 years. Your father is telling you avoid men. You are saying you have found love. Your father is a man. Your father was once 15. That's why he's warning you about that brother. You don't get what I'm trying to explain. You don't know why men are the way they are. You see a father warning you, don't go close to that boy. He said, no, dad, he loves me. He loves you. Your father was once his age. He knows what he was saying. He lied too. He knows that's his partner in crime. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why when they see you standing with the boy, they warn you from. They will remove their bed. You be saying, wicked man. You think they are wicked. They love you the way your mother loves you. He said, he that the Father loves, he what? And that chastising ability that God does in the family comes from the Father. Many years ago, I stole 50 kobo, I'd be 1 naira. I did not even think like I stole the money, I just carried it to buy sweets. And when my mother asked of it, I said, I first calmed down a while, suspense, then I said, I took it to buy sweet. She did not say anything. Immediately my father came, she just started the topic. So you said you took my 50 kobo, my 1 naira to do what? I was like, I thought we ended these things since. I said, which one? You did not take. Eh? My father was eating. When he finished, he said, you took what? Imagine this boy started stealing. Then she now said, most of the thing that has been lost is like, I'm the one carrying it. I almost regretted my life. I regretted why they gave birth to me that day. I said, God, what kind of family have I entered into like this? Then my father said, come here. He carried his soldier belt with irons and, you know, he said, kneel down here. I knelt down, shaking. He said, today I will show you that I'm your father. You want to steal? He now carried the candle, lit the candle, kept it on the ground. He said, put your hand on top. I put my hand because I was scared of the belt. As it was burning my mouth, he said, my friend, if you don't put it, I'll break your head. I put it back. It was, I had to remove it. I said, break my head. Just break my head. And he said to me, smiling, he said, hell is 10 billion times hotter than that. That sustained me for a while. I did not only avoid any sin around that area, I avoided other sin because of that lesson. You know, one of the temptations I was having in secondary school that I was sharing with people one time like that, that one small human being like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Can you remember that temptation? What made me to run was that hell is 10 billion times. When the lady was telling me one thing and behaving like serpent, I was just looking at her. She was just doing like serpent. I just remember the words of my father. Hell is 10 billion. I said, excuse me, I'm coming. I ran for my life. It sustained me for a while. But a point came when I had grown more behavior. Forget those things. It always comes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why it is only the word of God that can sustain you for what? Religion only try for a while. When you say heaven and hell, some people will cry for a moment. 2 weeks later, they are back in club. Hey! Knowing that hell is real. That's why the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. It is very hard for the religious man to believe that. Religious man. After learning about lake of fire and everything, you are telling him it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance. He is looking at you like a false prophet. So you mean if I tell these people God loves them, they will change? No, I will scare them with the wrath of God. Are you listening to me? Everything that seems to raise itself against the knowledge of God, that's what they are trying to achieve with the LGBT parade. See how they did? The woman cried, the congregation cried. What are they trying to portray? That it's cool to allow people to be Christians and what? Okay. And God is working on. Thank God for the new Pope. I heard that he's not a fan of that kind of thing. That they came even for his ordination and be whatsoever. And while he was passing, he saw them and he turned his face away. That's good. They should know that that kind of thing cannot exist because it was never there from the beginning. It's from the devil. Doctrines of what? Demons. Seducing spirit. And truly they are seducing spirit. They will use any means. There are some that they've used money to make them gives. Money. I remember one person was confessing one time. It was money. They used to deceive this brother. These guys, they have an agenda they are pursuing. You see somebody, they pay him 11 million to dress as a cross-dresser. 11 million money. Have you heard things like that? Just to dress like a woman. Take 11 million every month. Say, what kind of agenda is that? Why? Because as he's dressing like a woman, he's pouring something to the public. Are you seeing how more young men are dressing like women today? Because they saw somebody dressing like a woman and he's successful. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? It's a devil. It's a devil. And religion can never be a solution to this. It has to be what God has released in the New Testament. That glory in the New Testament. Are you listening to me this wonderful evening? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's our agenda. Bringing what? Every thought. The weapon of our warfare, we are fighting to subject every thought. Firstly, before it gets to other people, it will try to bring you down. Are you here? Are you listening to me? You now, God has called you as a model for nations. He said, light of the world. You think Satan will stop there? As you are pressing into God, Satan is seeing a possibility that you want to represent God. So he comes to see that what he wants to pour to the nations, he will first start with you. Now, he wants sexual immorality. It is you, the preacher, that is having the temptation more. The threat and the temptation so much. And you are the one that God has chosen to be a light. You are the one that is a prayer warrior. Have you heard people talk like that? When I was done with the fasting, then I fell to the temptation. Have you heard guys talk like that? Because Satan is waiting. Little opportunity to get you. So Paul said, when the abundance of light came to me, instead of just smiling and saying, wow, revelation, and I know most of you have been there at a point in your life. Paul caught this beautiful revelation in 2 Corinthians 12. He started getting excited. Wow, beautiful revelation. Boom! A thorn in his flesh. Paul started struggling with something. Something that he did not give a proper explanation. He said, I sought the Lord 3 times to take it away from me. He said, but the Lord told me. He said, Paul, my strength is perfect in weakness. Meaning, Paul, you feel so weak. This is where my strength starts from. Because it's not supposed to be a function of you. The Bible said, God allowed this glory in earthen vessel so that the excellency of the power will be to him and not of man. That's why if you read 2 Corinthians 12, Paul said, I will boast in my weakness, therefore. You know what Paul meant by boasting in his weakness? You know, I saw some people struggling in some of our videos. He said, Bible said we should boast in our weakness. It means that even though there's a thorn in your flesh like Paul was speaking, if God comes to you in that situation and says, now my strength is perfect in weakness, he has said so that you may boldly say. After he says, my strength is perfect in weakness, you will not start crying. You will boast in that state of weakness. I said, I am strong in the Lord and in his power. In weakness, you are boasting. Why? Revelation has come to you in weakness. So when Paul received that revelation, he said, in this situation, let me boast God. It doesn't matter that I'm in the situation. A revelation has come to me. I will boast in my weakness. Meaning in poverty, boast about riches. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Boast about riches in poverty. Don't agree with the situation. Oh, I correct my mother a lot. I was talking to her about something she's supposed to pay for $70,000 today. I said, where will I get them? And I said, oh God, stop that. It irritates my spirit. Never agree to the situation. Because you don't have $70,000 right now in manifestation doesn't mean you are lesser than $70,000. You are bigger. Talk big. And I was showing a pastor our land where we're trying to build and etc. And he was asking me a few questions. I said, yeah, we're going to buy this and buy. He turned to me and said, Pastor, you will buy everything here. I said, yeah, very soon. He said, wow, God is doing a great work in your life. I like your level of your success. I said, thank you, sir. I did not say the money is not in manifestation. I'm just speaking by. I did not explain anything. I said, we'll buy this one and buy this one and buy everywhere here. He said, really? Yes. I said, we'll close the road. Because everything will become our own. He said, how soon? I said, soon. Immediately they agree, I'll buy everything. He said, hey, Pastor, I like the grace of God upon you. And I said, yes. Because we have received everything for what? Paul said, I'll boast in my weakness. I remember this other my video that people were insulting that I said, a Christian has no weakness. When God told Paul, Paul said, now let me boast in my weakness. Let me boast. It was the same Paul that said in 2 Corinthians somewhere, he said, I'll boast concerning these things that God has done for me. Meaning, see what Jesus has done for you, then begin to boast about it. Even though you are in a negating situation, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. That's how you think as a child of God. Glory to God forevermore. I will boast in my weakness. I will boast in my weakness. But what was my emphasis? Paul had abundance of revelation. He said, because of that, Satan put a thorn on my flesh. Satan heard Paul saying, I've been bought with a price. I'm above, never been there. Blah, 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 blah. Died with Christ. He just came, put a thorn. That's how he behaves. He said, when he sees the good master planting, he comes and he will just sow tares. He's not omnipresent. So he will put a situation that will make you struggle for life. Many years ago, while I was studying in my, I found out that the part of your brain that helps you to focus and achieve destiny is the part of your brain that gets affected when you are addicted. I said, the devil is a bastard. I mean, that guy is a bastard. That part of your brain you need to use and be focused to achieve destiny is a part of your brain that gets affected when you're addicted. So you see, the addiction will just repel you from fulfilling destiny. That's the devil. He comes and plants wherever God plants. Read your Bible. That's where he plants. Don't you get it? He doesn't plant anyhow. So I don't know why it's me that this thing is happening to. Wherever God plants, that's where he plants. That's why you have to be brutal and on fire as a Christian. Quench not the spirit. Even your finances, he will attack. He will look at everybody, they are making money. You that you, he knows what you will use the money for. Is you come and attack. So that you begin to question your giving. Pastor, I gave and that's all. You don't just give. When you give, you speak words. You speak words. We were taught this thing many years ago. I wonder why we are neglecting it these days. You don't just give. Sometimes before you speak into your giving. When you are done speaking, confess the right things. You cannot give and be talking negative. A double-minded man is what? And receives nothing from the Lord. You gave. Say, no, I know this giving will produce something. You're not guessing, no. You are speaking it by faith. I know whom I believed. I'm persuaded. It's only one option in my heart. When I sow, I reap. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Refuse to receive any negating thought in your mind. You will now go online. Facebook pastors will start. Remove it. If you check my Facebook, I've blocked many people. Anything that affects my belief in my peace, I block it. I don't joke. I've blocked many comedy people. Skit people. I don't want any stupid comedy skits. Most of these are popular skit makers. I've blocked them. The only thing on my face, that's why most of the time, some things that are happening, I don't even know. The only things are things that matter. Verse 24. Bible pages, blah blah blah. That's the only thing there. Let me know what is happening in the world. Let me know what is happening in Nigeria. Let me know. That's my business. How can you say you want to achieve destiny, even if you are not a Christian? You enter Facebook 24/7. The only thing you are watching is kids and comedy. How on earth will you fulfill destiny, even if you are not a Christian? Can you send me 2,000? My subscription just finished. Finish from what? TikTok. So I'm better than that. Are you seeing this? Now go back to where we were. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Many years ago, I remember while I was studying the scripture, the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, son, you are the prison for Satan. You are the end of Satan's existence. I remember, it's a bringing everything to the obedience of Christ. Meaning that probably there's a movie. Immediately we appeared as the revealing of sonship happened in my life. It became an end of Satan's mastery over any situation around me and my family. Every thought that seems to raise itself, as I subject his thought, he's subjected around me. Subjected around my family. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I remember I joked with it when the Lord spoke to me. I said, I'm Satan's prison and here there's no prison break. In the name of Jesus. How will there be a prison break when I start saying and believing the wrong things again? But as long as I'm speaking the right thing and I'm believing the right thing, he's in a prison. He can cannot flow through my mind. The first person Satan will try to tempt is you that is called a savior. You that God has sent. As you are preaching like this, you will think, but wherever God plants, there he plants too. I told you about the story of that young man I preached to. Started crying. The night before he was supposed to burn the child, his Yahoo now walked. Satan heard me preaching to him and ran to make sure that he proves that him too is strong. All the chance he said started working. That's somebody that cried in my house and was ready to come and submit his child. Bring it early in the morning before you go to work. Let me burn it. That night, all the Yahoo he planned, he set trap for people. All of them started working. You that God wants to use now, they prophesy greatness. You know, some of you have begin, at some point of your life, you start doubting the prophecy over your head. It's the same you Satan will be timing. It's not about everybody, it's you, because you are the hope of many generations. He knows what happened when God really finds manifestation in your heart. He said the earnest expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of sons. You are the solution to the cry of many. When you allow God to find expression through your life, Satan knows the effect. Because when God draws one, he's drawing a nation. When God draws one, he's drawing a multitude. That's why he will try with all the diplomacies in hell. He will try to make sure that he gets one person down. He knows how important you are. You know, you doubt yourself more than Satan. Satan believes in you more than yourself. He knows how big you are. Are you listening to me? When you began to say those things, when he heard you hearing me, are you listening to me? When he saw you reading scriptures at home and making some declaration, you know what it meant to Satan? What? If she really becomes what she's saying, then he begins to attack your prayer life. He begins to bring wrong friends around you. He doesn't want you to become what you have been saying. He himself, Satan, he knows that speaking will land you into a manifestation. It's a law of life. That's why a lot of times he will steer you. You know, we just read from scripture that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but pulling down strongholds, argument, wrong imagination. He's the one that creates wrong imagination. He will give you a picture that you are poor, and you now confess. You're believing, you're thinking, you're believing, now you're speaking. I'm poor. Things are hard. He's happy. Because you will never be better than what you think and say. As you are going through, he will create a situation. It will be, life will be quite tough for you. And he just wants you to make an utterance at the end of the situation. And when you say it, he's happy. Because that's where you end. And that's why Joshua said the book of the law should not depart from your heart. That meant for the word of God in their days. He said, but you shall meditate upon it day and night. If something strikes you, he said, do not turn to the left nor the right. Focus. Jesus said that more better in the New Testament. He said, looking up to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Looking up to him. Set your gaze on Jesus. As long as you set your eyes on him, a situation may be happening around you. The serpent may have beaten you, but your eyes set on Jesus. The Bible said, as long as your eyes were on that pole where the serpent was dead, what happened to them? Though there was an effect in them, but it never found manifestation. They were never living by those effects. It dried up. It went away. Oh, death, where is thy sting? There was a sting of death, but their eyes were on Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Satan may have infected you with an addiction, but set your eyes on Jesus now. I love scriptures. It's so practical and prophetic. He first came and beat all of them, the serpent. And when he beat all of them, God now told Moses, create for me something. Put it up there. Let them see Satan defeated. You know, two things happening. Golden serpent. Jesus glorified, Satan defeated at the same time. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I desire that you know nothing but what? Christ. And him being what? If I be lifted up on the cross, where was he lifted up? On the cross. He said, on that cross I what? Draw all men. So I believe as we're looking at the cross, we're being drawn up. As we're looking at the golden pole, they were leaving that level where that serpent could beat them and affect them. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And they went up, seated together with Christ. He took them up. As they looked up, they went up. As they gazed on Jesus, they went up. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So Satan may have beaten you and your body. You may have this addiction, may have this problem. But if you can just look, you will leave. You will live. You will live like God wants you to live. No, I refuse to end up a beggar. I refuse to beg. I'll set my gaze on Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I'm not pressured. He said when heat comes, we don't notice it. If you are not noticing the heat, your eyes are not on the right place. This season is tough. It's tough because your eyes are on the wrong place, brother. Set your gaze. They that trust in the Lord, they are like what? Trees planted by the river. Always fresh. Always feeling fresh. He said, when heat comes, they don't notice. I led them from Kenan Hagin. They told him, your wilderness experience, how was it? He said, wilderness experience? Never had one. He said, no, we mean times we were suffering. He said, I never suffered. A woman met Bishop Oyedepo and said, remember those days in Kaduna when you were trekking? He said, I never trekked. He said, no, those days you were suffering. He said, I never suffered. He said, no, those days you were just saying that you have private jet, but you don't have it. He said, I had it. Say it like you have it. Call the things which are not as though they were. And if you confess it, you act like it, because faith without work is dead. I don't agree with my situation. I don't agree with my account statement. No, I don't agree with it. I don't act like my bank statement. No, talk like it. Behave like it. Behave like God's word. Speak like God's word. You know, you have 5,000. Don't talk like 5,000. Don't talk like 5,000. I'm not saying go and brag. Mm-mm. There's a difference between bragging and being in faith. Oh, I know who I am. Satan may have started something, but God has finished it on the cross. Set your gaze on Jesus. Set your gaze. Set your gaze. Not wrong doctrines. Doctrines of demons. They are coming. You know one thing with ideologies? You know one thing with ideologies? They are more like your sight in the realm of the spirit. Paul speaking in the book of Ephesians 1 and 18, he said that the eyes of your understanding may be what? Enlightened. The eyes of your heart, sorry, may be enlightened. You see, so what happens with ideology is that they come and they just become the light of your eyes in the physical and in the spirit. You see through ideologies. So when wrong doctrines get into your head, you begin to view life from a wrong perspective. Satan, knowing this, is why he initiates doctrines of demons. Go back there where we were in Timothy. Doctrines of demons. Paul noticed it and he started warning the church. While he was writing to Timothy, he said there are certain doctrines that they are from demons. In Colossians, while he was speaking to them, he said, you may think this is a speaking. He says he's a free thinker. Who are you? There is nobody that is a free thinker. You are the one that think you are a free thinker. You just sit down and thoughts are flying in your head. You say you are a free thinker. There is a spirit according to the Bible, Colossians 2:8. There are forces making you think freely. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are the one thinking you are a free thinker. There is no free thinker. Satan is the one that initiated the thought in your mind. Is it one of the things the word of God will do? I always say it will kill low self-esteem. They all have boyfriend, and so what? They all have girlfriends, and so what? I'm not like them. The Bible says he will raise saviors out from Zion. I am a savior happening to my generation. I am not like them. I must not have what they have, because I have what they don't have. I don't have low self-esteem. Not a minute. So you're going to behave some way for some guy to like you, for some woman to like you. You? Bless of the Lord? No, no, no. No, no, no. You know, I saw something that blessed me this wonderful afternoon. These people called the Winlows. They were talking in a conference and the man was speaking how that he tried different relationships with other people that, in his words, he said they had front and backs. But it didn't work out. And when he was frustrated, he now told the Lord to tell him who to marry. And God now told him that the lady you are pastoring, she was in his department. Did you hear what I said about department? She was in his department. And he never knew that this lady was coordinated in church was his wife. Because she never had what he wanted. And while he was praying and saying, God, me, I'm tired. Show me. God said, go for Sister Susan. So he said he traveled to where she is, to her state. He went and told her this is what God said, blah, blah, blah. To cut a long story short, they started dating and they got married. And God brought the vision called the willows and whatever they are doing today. He said, you know, while we're talking in the interview, he said, but if I allowed my physicality to affect me, I would have not married my wife and gotten this vision because I was looking for front and back. And I remember she altered him and said, you see, I didn't have front and back, but I took his life forward. I started laughing. You see that? Glory to God. Refuse to be affected wrongly. He didn't allow the flesh to alter his vision. At a point when he got frustrated, God showed him, that's your wife, and he went for her. What am I trying to say in essence? Don't try to modify yourself for anybody. God has somebody special for you. And when I say modify yourself, I'm not saying don't dress well. Dress well, smell nice. That's not part of it. You know what I mean by modify yourself? Don't try to please nobody to get you. You are not that cheap. Are you listening to me? You are special to God. Very special to God. Very special to God. You know, years ago, I was raising a young man, and there was this lady who was toasting in the back, and she was mocking him and playing with him. Then a nun came to me, wanted me to father him, as I started teaching him the gospel. And he told me the story, and he was crying. So I now laugh because it didn't make sense to me. He was too even young. So I said, forget about her, learn the word of God. When he grew, he started following my ways and dressing like me, and carving like me, and behaving like me. And one time, they called him, everybody would say Pastor Simon's son, that's how they called him. And one time, he was showing me a message, the lady was begging him to be in a relationship with her. This is like 3 years later. Now, am I saying that work hard so that that lady will not beg you so that you not accept? Of course, he did not accept. I told him, we just laughed. I said, block her. So he blocked her. Now, listen. At a point, she didn't want him. Because she was laughing at him. She said, he's not representing well. At this point, it's not like he had all the money yet. He just loved himself more. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Loved himself so much. Thinking the way God wants him to think about himself. Started liking himself and dressing fine and looking nice. You know, when you love yourself, everybody will love you. If you don't love yourself, even people will not love you. Love yourself. Some will say you took a carry body one, but they still like you. That I don't like that girl. The way she carry herself is too much. Secretly, if you check all of them, they are trying to message the girl. You see them discussing four boys. You see what she even posted yesterday. That girl with her big head. See, they are observing the post. The same thing for the guy. That guy has pride. See the way he walks. Walking any as if he's the one that owns the church. Pride won't kill him. As they are going home, 6 girls are discussing one brother. My brother, you have made it. Love yourself. Love yourself. Tell somebody, love yourself. That's one of the reasons my mother likes me. I keep on saying it. She'll be lying, but I keep on saying it. Those days when we started, you said, Pastor Simon, you love yourself too much. That's my problem with you. How can that be a problem when you are the one following me and saying problem with me? But you like the problem. Is God not interesting? when we are talking and I'm talking about myself and say, Prophet Simon, you love yourself too much. Kai! Then she'll be at the back. See how he's walking. Say, ha ha! She'll be laughing. And a burgator. After she's done talking everything, then in the evening we'll still talk. You know, I love you too, bless you. Sleep. Because I love myself. Me, I was not interested for anybody that was not interested in me in the first place. Because I love myself. You know, one of the things I thank God for while I was growing up, I never was into these relationship things. And when I hear boys complaining they chop my money, this thing used to tire me. Shebi, if you're in your house and just keep yourself, just live your own life. Nobody will disturb you to give money. Yeah, I cannot be single and you say I should send you money. Like one lady that told me to send her money on Jesus' birthday, on Christmas Day. Super Simon, show me love. I said, I bless you with the love of Christ. Say, no. I mean, shake body now, it's Christmas. I said, okay, so what happens in Christmas? Pastor Simon, see my account balance, account number, sorry. I said, really, I should send you money. She said, yes. Me, send you money. Have I finished sowing all the seeds that I want to sow in my life? I told her direct, straight bullet. I said, see, it's Jesus' birthday. You people should stop this kind of thing. I will sow into Jesus' life. And I laughed at the end. She now said, haha, with K, not okay, K. That was the last day. And I was glad. Because nobody will build me again. It's not a nice thing that you end talk with somebody that builds you. You have been saved. Because if that person is there, it's so billing. Hello, how are you? My gas are finished. What? Hello, how are you doing? I'm not fine. Why? My father has migraine. Does your father know me? So, Pastor Simon, you are wicked. I'm not wicked. Am I the one called to treat your father? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Where did you know me before? Say, how you doing? Say, I'm not eating. Why? Eat now. I told somebody that thing many years ago. I say, he said, no food. I say, no food. I say, cook now. Say, no food stuff. I say, I say, so what will we do now? What will we do? Some of you are tax collector on Facebook. Somebody just messaged you and say, I've not eaten. Don't be a fine beggar, a fine girl beggar online. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Can I ask you for a favor? What favor? I'm looking for transport to go to work. That's somebody toasting you. You know, some ladies can behave like nincompoops. Somebody has been toasting you for like 2 years. You know that brother is a wrong brother. He's not the one you're supposed to marry and is living one kind. Then one day you have mind to build him. You have mind. What kind of mumuness is that? You think from hellfire. Say, so can I ask you for a favor? The brother even knows that you want to ask for a favor. The way you replied the message that evening is clear you want to ask for a favor. Hi there, how are you doing? How's your day now? We know where the thing is going to. Can I ask for a favor? You know, many brothers used to run like they are children, they will now run away. Say, so cannot message this brother again on this. He has blocked you. What is the favor? My gas has finished. No, then you sing for their favor. It surrounds you like a shield. You know, suppose you pass someone, it's wickedness that you have. No, it's boldness. So you don't used to help women. I used to help her. I was collecting close to 100,000 around 2014, 2015 as a salary. 100,000. Where I teach, they will pay me. Then the parents, the children will go and tell their parents there's this uncle they like. The parents will come to the school and employ me as their lesson teachers. I was collecting close to 100,000. And I didn't collect more because I wanted to be playing football. That's why I left some lessons out. At that time, whenever they pay me salary, everybody were doing the house. Not just my house. I was buying people food, doing things for people in the barracks from my money. I remember one particular event that happened. There's this lady. She just messaged me from to go and said, can you please help me in airtime, blah, blah, blah. At that time, I sent her 1,000 naira airtime. She said, Jesus. 1,000. I said, is there a problem with sending you 1,000? Now, those days, she was not over my spec before he started suspecting me. It was just the love of Christ. Those days, because I was doing spec those days. If you are not my spec, I don't want to look at you 2 times. And she now said, what do you want? I said, for 1,000 naira a time. I said, I don't understand. I said, no, this is not normal. This is too much kindness. What is it? Should we start a relationship? I said, no, please. I just sent this thing because I'm a Christian, and believe me, that's just the truth. And I had it to give, so I gave it to her. I mean, what is 1,000 that means like 80,000? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So I sent it to her. And that 80,000, I didn't even know what to do with it at that time. It was just split in my account. You know, I was not so wise. I would have bought land since that time. Because if I save 80,000, I'll be 100,000 for 5 months. I can buy a land at high level at that time. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you hearing me? Glory to God forevermore. Tell somebody, look and leave. Tell somebody, look and leave. Lastly, before we go, you've just seen that now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will what? Depart from the faith. Giving what? Heed to what? Deceiving spirits. Via what? This word here is Kai. Via doctrines of demons. So how would they give heed to deceiving spirit? Via their doctrines. Whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. Doctrines of demons. You can quote me anywhere. And this is, you know, Satan does not just come as obvious devils before I close, like I said. Now the Lord that God said we should live and enter grace, he will emphasize it. I read Lucifer exposed by Derek Prince. He explained that. He will emphasize it. The law. Jesus said, leave the law. For what the law could not do, verse 3 of Romans 8, in that it was weak because of the flesh, Jesus did. He defeated sin. Even sin in the flesh. Satan will emphasize the law is a better way. Do you understand what I'm trying to say, all of you? So be careful the kind of belief system you have in your mind. Be careful. That may be the reason why you cannot carry this glory in earthen vessels. Because now it's pointing, the energy, I mean, the ability is being pointed to you instead of to God. Remember, this ministry, we receive it as we receive what? Mercy. It's a function of God, not us. Are you listening to me, people of God? If you don't make up your mind, you see, sometimes I pity church people because pastors think it's members that have fault every time when members behave, misbehave. From what I've read in the scriptures, 80% of the time, the reason why members misbehave is because the pastor is not teaching rightly. The Bible said, my people perish for what? It said, because the priests refuse to teach them knowledge. He says, since you have rejected knowledge, I have what? Rejected you. So we always read, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If you go ahead, he said, because the priests refuse. Sometimes we are not saying, God, this is not how we refuse. God, I will not teach. Mm-mm. Paul warned a preacher. He said, be careful how you build. Many people are not careful. You are hearing different doctrines today, isn't it? But you have an option to believe the wrong, to believe the right one and leave the wrong ones to go away. You have an option. Especially on Facebook. Some of you are hearing crazy things. Shebi, recently I even saw a prophet preaching that if you are over 30 or 35 as a lady, I permit you go and have a child. How many of you saw it? He said, me, I permit you go and have a child. Because it's like Moses now, who is a god, and he has Aaron, his prophet. Now there are some people that will go and have a child. And on that day, the white throne judgment, they will tell God, my prophet, say, I shall have a child. You know the funny thing? The prophet will be punished and you will be punished at the same time. Because you have Bible, prophet told you. We need to wake up. Oh. There's a useless message I heard one preacher preaching. I just blocked him. That was the day I blocked him. It's very popular. He said one time he was going to see one of his spiritual fathers. As he opened the door, he saw the spiritual father doing adultery with a woman. He now closed the door and stood at the door. That nobody should enter the office. Anybody that wants to enter the office, say, go back. Papa is busy. He said, you know why I did that? Because if people see Papa, some of them will leave God. Some of them will misunderstand God. Do not open the nakedness of your father. Then people stood up. Yes, sir. You can imagine. I just blocked him immediately. Do not reveal the naked. Close your father's nakedness. See, the generation, the problem with our generation is that we have young people who like to unveil the nakedness of their father. This country, see, not just this country, the body of Christ, we need to see. You see, this stubborn generation that are rising. Somehow, I'm against the extreme stubbornness. If you read your Bible very well, this is how Jesus rose in his time. They called him, there is no name they did not call Jesus. In fact, the Bible says he was hated without a cause. But if you look at it, there was all reason to hate Jesus. Somebody will come, you are reading your Torah, and he will now say, who is your father? And say, Abraham. He said, that's why you die. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Was there no reason to stone him? In the realm of the spirit, there was no cause, but physically, logically looking at it, there was all reason. Then the Bible said they took up stones. He went somewhere and said, I am the Son of God. They took up some because they know what it means for you to say Son of God. You are the manifestation of God on the earth. He fled away from them. Imagine Jesus, the Pharisees in our generation and Jesus. Imagine the trouble that will be happening on Facebook. Imagine. He did not stop there. Do you know Jesus called them brood of vipers? He said, you are a murderer like your father, the devil. They wore white and white. He said, your father, the devil, you are a murderer. One of my friends said, it's like Jesus said their father. But I say, no, it's not true. He said, you are like your father, the devil. He did not say their father. You know, I have crazy friends. Because when something is hungering you, you'll be looking for an excuse so that when you see read Jesus say their father, you too, you say their father. No, he did not say anything like that. Read your Bible. A king called him, said, come and see me. Jesus was behaving nice. Say, come and see me. Jesus said, tell him I'm doing some things, I will come. He said, no, the master said he must come. He said, go and tell that fox. You think if Jesus does not have boys, he will call somebody for some soldiers? When he said, go and tell that fox, men mount everywhere. Disciples mount. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are telling soldiers, man, go and tell your general is a force. And I'm not coming, I'll call when I'm. Man, Mount Peter, remove his distance already. I say, if you do anyhow, you see anyhow now. Touch master me, see that. Yeah, I was discussing with my friend. I said, how can Jesus look at soldiers and say, go and tell that fox? You are telling his boys to go and tell the other general a fox, a Roman soldier. And they went to, you trust, they will not only say false. They said, they will tell you idiot and false. But that's not the major thing. Why did they not touch him? How do you know? The second time they tried touching him, that's why they did not touch him. Yeah, come out. They said, why? Kiss is the one. Jesus said, stop, Peter. Peter, carry the ear, put back. You know, the guys were working with Jesus, but their instruments were there. Did you understand? You are in Makodi and they are doing this thing. Your instrument is not there. Be playing. I will not talk more than this. So I did not agitate for self-defense. Agitator. See, we have to wake up. Are you listening to me? We have to wake up. In this same nation, somebody stood up and tell us that we should pray for our president. President. Not that the prayer is a bad thing. We should pray for people in authority. No problem. But that was just after he won the election. You know what happened as a man of God as he won? Souls died. They snatched ballot. Somebody that came out and said, snatch ballot papers. Catch them, run. You are saying we should just after election, you say pray. See, ethnicity, some pastors are tribalistic. So obvious. Then you come and be forcing scripture to align. David has come, Paul will come, Saul will come. None of those rubbish things. Which Saul will come? Which David? Preach against wrong things. You say David has come. God told me David and Saul will come before David. We are waiting for the David now. David is changing political party. David has joined Pharisees. Palestinians. That's why when it comes to politics, you hardly hear me say any prophecy. You have to be careful because your emotions is involved a lot of times. There was a time a prophet was talking, I knew it was not going to happen because emotions, if you add emotions to prophecy, you will misunderstand. You will just describe, just like mass, if you miss one sign, every answer may be wrong. Answer that is supposed to be A or 1x may now be x plus 2x plus 4 iterated to raise the power because of you miss one sign. That's how it is in prophecy. That was not my pain. You came out and you are telling us that the president has good intention. Which good intention? But wicked people are trying to stop him. Wickedness calling people wicked. I mean, I don't understand. Which wickedness is bigger than the wickedness we have now? You are saying? Then that's not all. You don't say we should pray for the president. We should pray that wicked people are trying to stop. There is nothing to say again but to say ethnicity is a problem. Because in this same person, during Jonathan, he wrote a petition. I'm going to file a 1 million man protest if insecurity does not stop. That was the threat to the government. He said, I will do a 1 million man. But now what is happening? It's time to wake up. Are you listening to me, people of God? Wake up. Say the right things, but be coordinated. Pray in the spirit. Let God reveal you. Reveal your voice. If it's based on some of these people out there, you will die trying, you know. I tell you the truth. But as long as you can pray, they that what? Know their God, they shall be what? And they shall do what? Know your God. A lot of rubbish has been happening, and you are the ones that God wants to use to prove that the right thing exists. Bow your heads and pray. And tell the Lord to help you represent Him well. Tell Him from the depth of your heart a simple, powerful prayer. Yahweh, Yahweh, you are glorious, so glorious in your way. You are glorious, so glorious in your way. You are glorious, so glorious in your way. From the depth of your heart, you are powerful, so powerful in your way. You are glorious, so glorious 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 in your way. You are powerful, so powerful in your way. You are powerful, so powerful in your ways. You are powerful, so powerful in your way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. And Lord, you are pulling them down through me. I will not just be a forgetful hearer. I'm a hearer and a doer of your word. Go ahead and pray. I'm a hearer and a doer of your word. Sheba kashona na niyarosha. I'm a hearer and a doer of your word. Jabaka supragadia kapapa tokolopo supebelegadia. Lord, I'm not a forgetful hearer. Emphasize that. I am not a forgetful hearer of your word. I'm a proof producer.
Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. Adonai. Satan may be trying, but while the generation rising and saying, Lord, we lift your banner high. We lift your banner up above the heavens. Show our life. We are proof producers, not just forgetful hearers of the word, not just forgetful hearers, a people determined to make sure that the cause of our God is enacted upon the face of the earth. Incense rise, harps resound, Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. The Lord is healing the brokenhearted. He's lifting the spirit of many. Lifting the spirit of many. Lifting, taking away the burdens from our heart. Taking away every yoke. Adonai. Adonai. Here comes the man child with the scepter in his hands. Hear all the nation, my generation. Here comes Yeshua with scepter in his hands. Hear all the nations. Hear all the nation. Jama kings. Jama kingdoms. The mountains and their mountains. But all Yeshua, while I'm falling, to his kingdom there'll be no end. Dear our kings, oh God, dear our kingdoms, dear mountains and there are hills, but all Yeshua. To his kingdom. Whatever you want to do, Lord, you can do through me. Whoever you want to touch, Lord, you can touch through me. Wherever you want to go, Lord, you can go to me. Whoever you want to touch, Lord, you can touch through my life. I'm yours. I'm yours forevermore. I'm yours. I'm yours. Lord, wherever you are, so touch, touch to me, wherever you are, so go, Lord, you can go, show me, wherever you are, so touch, my God, you can touch, show me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' gracious name we worship.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.